Yes, sir. The recordings have been started.
Thank you very much. Welcome to this cross-community working group on enhancing ICANN's accountability, call number 37 on June the 16th of 2015. And I remind you to keep your lines muted if you're not speaking. And we'll do the roll call as usual with those present on the Adobe Connect group. And I would also like to ask if there's anyone in the phone bridge that is not in the Adobe Connect room, so we can add their name to the roll call. So at this point, can anyone that's only on the phone bridge and is not in the Adobe Connect room, could you please state your names?
Hi, Leon. This is Thomas Akat speaking. I'm just on the audio bridge and not in the Adobe.
Thank you very much, Thomas. Anyone else?
And Greg Shatton.
Thank you very much, Greg. Anyone else behind besides Thomas and Greg? Okay. So another reminder for everyone that has not yet filed their statement of interest. There have been repeated reminders asking if you can file your statement of interest. If you haven't done so, please do it. It is urgent that we have your statement of interest if you are to continue to be members or participants of the group, of course. Our charter requires that we have statements of interest filed. So please, if you haven't done so, contact the staff at your earliest convenience so they can help you with that issue. And with no further delay, I would like to hand the call to my co-chair, Matthew Bale, for agenda item number two. Matthew?
Thank you very much, Leon. Hello, everyone. This call is designed to be a shorter call. I think we have a lot of focus right now in preparing for the face-to-face taking place on Friday in Buenos Aires. We're all impatient to be there. And the number one item on this call is to share with you how we are seeing this meeting take place, the tentative agenda, and collect your feedback on this. The goals we are setting for this meeting are in line with what we've discussed already. So number one is agreeing on the assessment of the public comments, so reviewing those comments and drafting our responses are going to be at the core of the meeting. We also will need to use this face-to-face time to define the key messages for the community engagements that will take place during the following week. And, of course, refine our working methods preparing for public comment number two, which takes place in July, so very quickly after the Buenos Aires meeting. So you see on the screen what the draft agenda, including a reading list, which will be substantial and made essentially with the contributions from the work parties of assessing the public comment document. And the freeze deadline is today at 23:59 UTC. So that's, I know there's a lot of work in Work Party 1 and Work Party 2, and working both at individual analysis of comments, but also at summarizing the various comments on each question. And that is going to be the key substance for our meeting on Friday, and everyone is encouraged to use the travel or any other time, obviously, to read this before the meeting so we are efficient. In terms of agenda, we are starting at 8 local time, and a significant portion of the agenda will be devoted to the drafting of the responses to the public comments we've received. So so that at the end of the day, we have an overall view of where we stand. Our goal will also be to identify which items will need further discussion from our group and which items obviously will I'd say, almost ready for finalization and will be ready for a further consensus calls as discussed in, I think, last couple of calls. As soon as we're ready on a topic, we would aim at going for a consensus call so that we get closure on some items when they're ready as soon as possible. And yes, Sabina, this is like 8:08. I would say 8 a.m. sharp, so that we get enough time to review all the comments that we've received. The one thing we would like to do before lunch, and that's in order to change a little bit from a rigorous analysis of comment that we'll be doing, we would like to try a debate on around the topic of call it enforceability or cooperative model versus membership model. And we would like to call for a couple of volunteers in an exercise we would name the turning the table around. So we would like to have a supporter, some form of supporter of a cooperative model to take the stand with the group and promote the cooperative approach, so the internal bylaw approach, and vice versa, so that we get further into the understanding of each other's perspective, and obviously try and use these debates to better understand all the perspectives that are obviously making this topic one of the key discussion points in the in our work. So we are going to be calling for volunteers for that exercise, and unless we have volunteers, we will appoint them on the spot. So we'd certainly encourage people who have thought about this to volunteer for the exercise, which would probably help us take a step back and a broader view on this topic. In terms of agenda, in the afternoon, we'll also have to start considering the NTIA letter, which was requesting us to provide clarity on the timeline shortly after Buenos Aires. So it's time that we start considering what kind of response we might do to this letter from Larry Strickling. And this meeting would be a good place to start this reflection and then carry news to the community, SOACs, and then finalize this letter after VA. And the other item, there's a numbering issue in the agenda on your screen, but is, of course, preparing the various meetings we'll have during the week, including the board meeting, there's meetings with many constituencies, ESO and ACs, and, of course, the engagement sessions, so ensuring we have clarity about the messages that we are able to carry to the community along the week based on the public comment responses that we've received. And that is, so far, the agenda we're seeing. So I would now call for any comments on this agenda, which is obviously tentative so far, so that we can finalize it before everyone starts traveling. And Jordan, yes, we'll try to have a downloaded document available. And I see Sebastian's hand is up, so please, Sebastian.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you for the presentation of the agenda for the meeting at the end of the week. Yeah, you asked for volunteers for the debate on enforceability. Before you ask this question, I wanted first maybe to ask you to change the layout of the debate. I am not sure that we want a debate where we will have black and white against each other, but what we will need to try to find it's available or as much as possible a compromise or an agreement or a consensus on this issue. And it's not too much about enforceability, I would say. It's about the power we want the community gain. And then which power we want to gain, what is the community, and after what are the tools we need to use. And the question here it's on enforceability is one tool, one possible tool. I hope in my comments, and sorry to have been late, but written in French, I have tried to explain other possibilities, what I guess you call now cooperative model. And then I would like very much that you change the title, and if you ask for volunteers, I am ready to help on that issue to participate more deeply. Thank you.
Thank you, Sébastien. We indeed need to have a title that is as clear and broad as possible. The idea of this particular part of the agenda, I'm not setting any expectation that we find a compromise, but only that we try and understand the various perspectives better, which is, I guess, the first step to finding something that has agreement from a broader base of colleagues. So happy to adjust the title on this. Jordan?
Thanks, Matthew. Can you hear me?
Perfectly.
Great. Thanks. Jordan Carter here for the record, .nz. I just think with the debate, we need to make sure and kind of agree that it's a useful tool to tease out if we do it right. If we do it wrong, it's a good way to polarize things and reduce the possibility of consensus. So I'm assuming that the proposal is intended to be a bit gentle, maybe a bit fun, maybe a bit of humor, but also a bit serious, and try and tease out the arguments. And if we all take it in that spirit, I think it would be quite helpful, and I certainly will take it that way. Thanks.
Thanks, Jordan. You're right. It will not formally be a debate, but a successive presentation of perspectives so that we fully understand them and appreciate them. I agree with you on the need not to polarize the debate. Any other comments on the agenda? No. So as I said earlier, the intention is to have a rather short call. So not delaying any further, I would just like to confirm that we'll finalize the agenda. So that's one action item for staff and the co-chairs, and taking into account the previous action item. And we're confirming the deadline for the documents by 23:59 UTC today, so that we can share a package of documents easily downloadable for the whole group to take on travels or at least consult before the meeting. And with that, I will turn to Leon for the next item on the agenda. Leon?
Thank you very much, Matthew. And, well, we received a couple of memos from the legal advisors with regards to the many questions that have been raised, mainly with regards to governments and how the different membership model or the voluntary model or the current model could affect governments in their future performance within ICANN, and we will be displaying an executive summary that Matthew circulated earlier today, and that was sent by Emily Chen to the legal subteam list. And this, of course, raised new questions, I believe, by Malcolm Hardy, that came in like 1 hour or an hour and a half before our call, so haven't really had time to go through them in detail. But I think that the main questions that were raised along the many calls that we have been, of course, from many governments, but I quite remember those raised by Cavus, which I believe is not in the call, but has received answers in many emails and in many ways to his questions. I also remember questions from Jorge Cancio and Rafael Perez Galindo, and I believe that those questions have already been addressed and replied to properly with each of the memorandums that have arrived from our legal team. And I don't see either Rafael or Jorge on the call, and I wish they would be here. I think the bottom line in here is that we have a chart that was sent by counsel, in which they compare the different powers for the members on each model, the voluntary model, the designator model, and the member-organized ICANN. And with this chart, the council provided us with some guidance as to where these powers would be more or less viable or even not viable at all with regards to each model. And they also answered a couple of questions with regards to whether it was mandatory to file the statement with the State Department for forming the unincorporated association. The answer to that is no, although Council of Courts recommends that for evidence of forming the unincorporated association, we do file that statement with the State Department, although it's not mandatory, as I said. The filing fee, I believe, is $25. And there were also some questions raised with regards to the obligations that an unincorporated association would have as, for example, periodically reports or assemblies or administrative issues like any corporate structure needs to fulfill. And the answer from council was that the unincorporated associations have no obligation of informing anyone about their activities unless they, of course, are active. And there was also another question with regards to taxation and other duties that may be required by law to be fulfilled by any unincorporated association. And the answer by council was that there was no obligation to file any tax declaration or anything like that unless, of course, the unincorporated association had any income or any economical activity, in which case it would, of course, be subject to filing the tax declarations as needed. And I would like to, of course, have our legal counsel to jump in if they feel that they need any clarification on the different issues or the different questions that have so far been raised by or with regards to governmental advisory committee and the possible structures that we could adopt in the future. So I'd like to ask either Holly or Rosemary if you need any kind of clarification from our side, so we could, of course, provide it at this point.
Hi, Leon. This is Holly. I think it's pretty clear. I don't need any clarification at this point, but I defer to Rosemary.
Oh, no, I think we're fine.
Okay, so far we don't need to raise any clarification. Matthew?
Yes, I think that there were some very useful clarification on the mailing list on the question side, and I know Jorge apologized for this meeting, and he was excused. My only concern would be some of the questions tended to sort of called for a legislation by legislation review of constraints in local laws for governments to join a California association, and I'm hopeful we're not getting into too wide a study on this. I mean, just for the benefit of not expanding costs too much. So I'd like to just check that this is not the exercise we're getting into, which would be obviously very complex and costly.
This is Holly. We agree with that. We have no intention of looking into multiple jurisdictions to determine whether differently situated ACs or SOs would have different types of problems, and or, you know, state actors would have different types of problems under different jurisdictions.
Thank you very much, Holly. Thank you very much, Matthew. There are some questions that, as I said, have been raised by Malcolm Hardy, and maybe we could forward them to Holly and Rosemary to have, of course, the corresponding replies. And I don't know if anyone else has any other questions or concerns with regards to the different models that we have been discussing. I don't know if it's clear. I remember seeing a discussion in the mailing list in which Jordan addressed pretty well, from my point of view, the fact that any unincorporated association that would, of course, be needed regardless of the membership or designated model, it would only be like an envelope that would carry the message to enforce the rights or exercise the powers by the community. So I don't know if this message is clear for everyone in the group, that the legal personhood would only be the vehicle if needed to exercise the powers and, of course, enforce the rights that we're trying to provide the community with. I see Tijani's hands up. Tijani?
Yes, thank you, Leon. Tijani speaking. You say only. Yeah, I am not sure it is only that. You have rights and you have obligations. So when we arrive to the point that you have a legal presence in the California jurisdiction, there is a lot of consequences that we have to consider. Yes, perhaps for the practical or for the day-to-day running our work, it is almost what you said, but there are other consequences that we cannot hide or we cannot not consider when we are treating this question. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. And I think that some of these consequences are, of course, there, and some other are unforeseeable at the moment. But I mean, for me, it's pretty clear that the legal personhood would only be a vehicle that would be triggered if needed, and not, of course, on a regular basis. Next on the queue, I have Rilov. Rilov, could you please take the floor?
Yes, thank you, Leon. It's on exactly the same. And I've asked the question before, but I'm still unclear on this, so maybe we can have some clarity on that. I think it was Avery who some time back wrote in an email about the unincorporated associations. As I understand it, their only power is that they have standing to sue ICANN for failing to comply with its own bylaw. And what I'm still struggling with is the answer to the question, is that the only reason why we would need the unincorporated association? So can we have a membership organization where the SOs and the ACs are indicated to be members in the bylaws without them being legal entities, and that this would only give us the problem, and I know that many of us consider that a huge problem, but that this would only give us the problem that we have no legal enforceability, or would it be an illegal construct? So would somebody prevent us from doing that? I don't know if I make my question clear.
If I understand you well, Rulof, the question is whether we could have the membership model-like structure without having the unincorporated associations or other kind of legal personhood in the real world. Is that right?
Yeah, that's it. And the additional question then is, would that mean that we only have the problem that we don't have legal enforceability, so that the legal entities are only necessary to make sure that we get legal enforceability?
Thanks, Rulof. As I understand, and I think that I recall reading a memo by counsel answering this exact question, and they told us that it wasn't possible to have a membership model without having the legal personhood for the members, of course. And if we went through that path, then of course the different rights that we would like to provide the community with wouldn't be enforceable. And well, that's the short answer is no, it is not possible. And I see that Holly is raising her hand. And maybe Holly, would you like to jump in and provide an answer to Rulof?
Well, Leon, you just provided a very good answer. There are a couple of issues here. As a threshold matter, members simply must be legal persons, either human beings or legally recognized entities such as an unincorporated association. The issues of standing and enforceability are in addition to that requirement. They're related to it in some ways, but we start with the fundamental prospect that you cannot have a membership you cannot, as a non-legal entity, be a member of ICANN.
Thank you very much, Holly. Greg?
Thank you. Maybe that's the sound of the community infantilizing itself. I think that the member model and the point of legal persons is not to give everyone the power to run off to court all the time, and I think we're kind of attempting to prejudice ourselves against any model that involves legal persons with considering that to be the end result of such a model. The point of the member model is to fundamentally change the balance of power in a corporation, because members sit atop a nonprofit corporation. That's what we get out of that. We get a board that actually owes a fiduciary duty to the members as well as to the corporation. And we get a set of tools which, if they were fully used, would ultimately result in going to court. But the idea is to not do that because the balance of power has changed, and with the community wielding more power, the board and management will feel more constrained. The idea that the current system kind of ends up in public shame and ridicule, I think, and therefore the board is constrained by that, I think it paints too simplistic a picture of what happens under the current balance of power. Now, I suppose if we're all generally happy with the amount of accountability that we've been able to wield as a community, then you know, that's great. I'm not entirely sure that what we will be able to accomplish here without members and without formal designators will ultimately take us far enough in the right direction. But considering this to be, you know, exercise in trying to go to court, I think massively, you know, misstates what enforceability means and how it would actually be used in practice. Thanks.
Thank you very much for that, Greg. Next on the queue, I have Jordan Carter. Jordan, please.
It's Jordan here. Is my audio working? I just had to reach.
It is. It is working.
Great. Thank you. Look, this almost feels like we're in a circular debate. I think the things that we agree on are quite a lot more fundamental than the things we don't agree on. We all want ICANN to keep working as a multi-stakeholder. I think we all want ICANN to keep working as a multi-stakeholder organization. I think we want to minimize the disruption to ICANN's way of working in that way. I think we all want to have a system where the accountability powers that we're proposing that have got very, very strong community support, at least measured by the public comments that we've got. People want the powers that are involved. And what I fail to get my head around still in the discussion, and I don't, obviously the way we're discussing it or the way I'm talking about it doesn't make sense to people or in a different lived experience, is that the membership model is the one that says the community organizes members has in the end got the final say over ICANN's future, that it has the power to have set out to shape its future. And we know that you can't have members without legal persons being involved. And so we've got some models about how we might do that. We might make individuals nominated by an SNAC a member and accord them those powers. We might have unincorporated associations which provide a kind of legal envelope or blanket on the SOs and ACs. But they don't change what the SOs and ACs do. They don't change their nature. They don't require people to join them. And they do have in statute and in reality a kind of constraining and shaping effect on what the board can do, and they give these powers. And to me, that's the most important thing. To me, one of the questions we have to answer is, in the global multi-stakeholder community organized through ICANN to coordinate naming policy and identifiers, who's in charge? You know? And maybe I'm sloganeering, but to me, there's a fundamental binary here. It is either that the board of directors of a nonprofit corporation with no members is in charge, or a set of different actors are in charge. And to me, the idea of distributing power away from that single point, if you like, that single group of people, into a more distributed, negotiated, diverse, stakeholder-based power matrix, is fundamental to making the corporation more accountable. And personally, I would support that whether or not we were in a situation of having the NTIA contract arrive or leave, because it's the way it should be. You know, the internet should be run and controlled and owned by the global community. It shouldn't be just by a set of actors who are appointed by a board, by a nominated committee or by elections. It should be broader than that. So, you know, there's a clear kind of trajectory and direction there. And what I hope we could get out of BA is a kind of assessment of where that public comment is, and where we go from it. Yeah. But anyway, talking too much. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Jordan. Next on the queue, I have Sebastian. Sebastian, could you please take the floor?
Yes, thank you, Leon. I will start with the point of order. What we are doing here, it's one of the topics you were asking for volunteers to help to set up the scene during the BA meeting. If we want to do that now by phone, and the same people putting the same arguments again and again on the same thing, and we don't try to find to use the inputs of each and every one to try to find to go in the direction of the consensus, we can do that. We can spend hours, and I can be in contradiction with what Jordan just said, disagreeing with that. But what is the goal? Where are we going? I suggest that we stop the discussion now. We go to BA. We have time to discuss and to put to the table the three different options, maybe more, and then we will be able to have the full picture. If we say, I don't see how we can find a solution if it's not my solution, yes, that's a way to discuss and to debate. But that's not the way we will be able to find any compromise. I really can do the same that others here, but I will stop here. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Sebastian, and I agree with you. We could continue to discuss this for hours and maybe could not reach an agreement or consensus. So if there are not any other questions for the lawyer at this point, we should move to the next point in the agenda. I remind you that we expect that everyone comes to Buenos Aires with the legal background, of course, to be able to contribute to the different discussions and going through the different memoranda that legal counsel has kindly provided would be a suggestion, and we do encourage you to go through the different legal memos. I believe that there is already a repository of all these memos in the wiki page. We will check that with staff, of course, and we would definitely encourage you to go through these legal memos. I don't know if any of my coaches would like to add anything to the discussion. Maybe Matteo or Thomas, would you like to add anything?
This is Matteo speaking. I think there was an important comment. I don't know, maybe it was Becky on the chat. What we need around the various models, each of them getting some traction, is that we look very deeply at what requirements are, how they're different in terms of requirements, and base our discussions about the requirements we put in priority, if there's prioritization involved. Really encouraging everyone to think deeply about the underlying requirements in their positions, and that's going to be the key part of the discussion in this debate we were talking about for the face-to-face in Buenos Aires, because my feeling is that we're talking past each other right now, and that's what we the first step for us is to ensure we understand the other perspectives, and that perspectives expressed within this group are always founded. And if you're not seeing the foundation of a perspective, then we need to look for this foundation in terms of requirements. And I mean, trying to convince each other is obviously not going to be the way forward. So we'll have to try several things for that, but I'm confident that working together in good faith is going to move us further.
Thank you very much, Mathieu. I see Alan's hand is up. Alan, could you please take the floor?
Yes, thank you very much. One other thought. As we have these debates, and we've been having them for a long time, both verbally and on the list, there seems to be, on both people's side, on all sides, a presumption that if we pick the solution I like, everyone will act in good faith and will worry about the possible threats, and it will work. And if we pick the solution that I don't like, that everyone will, you know, take the worst possible path forward and will be in a mess. And we really have to get past that part. We really have to start using the same assumptions in analyzing any given scenario. I can go into more detail, and I will on Friday if necessary, but I really think it's important that we not presume that everyone's going to do things properly if we pick my solution, and they'll do the worst-case scenario if we pick the other. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. Jonathan?
Yes, thank you, Jonathan Zook, for the record. I guess, Alan, I found that point to be rhetorically eloquent, but factually misleading. I think this entire exercise has been about assuming that everyone will act at their worst in all scenarios, and that was the exercise behind the stress test is that everyone does a poor job. I don't think that anyone on either side is necessarily making the assumption that people are going to behave well, et cetera, because as we're trying to solidify an organization, we can't really afford that assumption. So, I mean, I think the assumption, you know, in all of these has got to be that people are not going to behave well. And so those that are proponents of empowering the community are looking hard at how to, you know, Becky looked hard at how to constrain the community if the GNSO decided to get together. I mean, this is the part that feels difficult for me to get my mind around, but if the GNSO all got together and agreed to mount a frivolous lawsuit against ICANN rather than go through the embedded channels, what are the means that could be used to prevent that? So all around, there's this idea of trying to build something that can handle people's worst behavior, and I don't think that the people are making favorable assumptions to their side. I think that and we can't afford to. I think we need to assume, for the purposes of building a strong accountability framework, that people are not doing what they are meant to do. Because if everybody does as they're meant to do, we don't even need an accountability framework.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. And I wouldn't want to jump again into the path of endless discussion, but I see Alan hand this up again. And Alan, if you want to react to that, please do take the floor. And let's close the discussion with that. Thanks.
Thank you. I too hope this would not be a debate on what on an opinion I gave, but apparently it is. Chris Despain has repeatedly, and others have repeatedly asked the question, how do we make sure that the people that we appoint to be our representatives on the UA actually follow the instructions of the AC or SO, since the AC and SO is not a legal person and therefore cannot enforce, cannot take action against that person if that person chooses to act with malice and not follow the instructions. And there is never an answer to that. The answer is they won't. They're under the control, but we don't know what the mechanism is for that control. That's the kind of example I was talking about. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. So I would like to close the discussion on this issue at this point. And there's some homework we have to do before Buenos Aires, as I said, going through the legal memos and what Matthew commented, that I think it's really important. We should definitely take thought on the requirements that this group has stated as essential for accountability, weigh them, see the pros and cons with regards to each model that is being discussed, and then we can, of course, provide our arguments on the different options we have on the table. So, are there any other questions related to legal advice or the fact that there are some implications for governments and the different memos that we have shown here? I see some GAC members here present. Does anyone else want to raise any other questions at this point? Okay, seeing no other questions, I'd like to turn back to Matthew for agenda item number 4.
Thank you, Leon, and that's a very open agenda item. It's called Any Other Business. So if anyone has any other business to share, I see Sebastian, please. Sebastian.
Yes, thank you, Mathieu. Just a question, and I may have raised that in the item before, but how the group, the CCWG on accountability, will meet during the Buenos Aires meeting, where pick up why we are not meeting all the different SOACs constituency that we need to meet to be sure that everybody gets the same level of information and we have exchange with them. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. So we've reached out to all the SOACs and responded also to several other requests. We have not turned down any request. I don't know if we have contact with all ESO and ACs, but it's still possible to accommodate some requests. Obviously, the number of meetings is already quite high and becoming challenging to find slots, but we've reached out, we are open, so any other request can still be accommodated. Rolof, you're next.
Okay, thank you, Mathieu. This is Rolof Meijer for the record. Let me start with a disclaimer. This is not an attack on any person or any company, or maybe I should summarize that as any legal entity. Quite a few of you know that I've been the chair of a CCNSO group that has been scrutinizing ICANN's budgets and expenses for quite a few years. And from that perspective, I have a worry, and the worry is in the number of lawyers from the two firms that we have participated in our calls. We've had two calls for Working Party 1 last week, and I think we had respectively 4 and 5 people from Sidley Adler on the phone, and I think now we have something like 5 people from Sidley, and I don't know how many from Adler. I'm a bit worried about the enormous amount of money we're spending on legal advice, and there might be a very good reason, but I don't understand why we need so many people participating in the call. I think they're all very good experts, and I suggest we could do with 2, 1 from each firm.
Thank you, Rudolf. I think this is the concern is well heard. I would suggest that we have an action item as co-chairs to sit down with the firms while we are in Buenos Aires and clarify expectations and processes for that going further in the interest of the quality of interaction we have with the firms, as well, obviously, as managing the costs. So I think we need to take that action. Thanks for pointing it out. Any other business? Okay. So with that, I wish you all safe travels. I'm looking forward to seeing you in person in Buenos Aires for a very, very busy week. Do take some time to read the documents that are being prepared right now by the working parties. This is going to be very, very helpful in the discussions on Friday. And please also come with an open mind in terms of understanding each other's perspective. Is going to be a key success factors for our meetings in Buenos Aires, and I know we are all very, very keen on moving this further while we are there in Argentina. So thank you all for your participation. We've managed to keep this call very short, and that's helpful to get us ready for our travels. Thank you all. Bye.
Thanks, everyone, and safe travels.
Bye, Aunt.